So we are here to learn as well as to sing. So we're going to invite Pauline up to lead now, and then Peter is going to lead us for our sermon time.
Good morning. Reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And it's the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, good to see you all. And as we come to this passage of scripture, this parable told by the Lord Jesus, let's first come in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, open our ears to hear what you have to say to us today. Open our hearts to receive your word, and help us to be obedient to your call on our lives, for your name's sake. Amen. Anita introduced our time of talking together about what prayer means to us with the words, "Prayer is a bit of a mystery." I think that's what she said. And prayer indeed can be a bit of a mystery. And on the surface, I think this parable seems to add to the mystery. But let's look into it together this morning and see if we can understand what the Lord is saying to us. We read in verse 1 of Luke 18 that Pauline read to us. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And the word "then" is quite important here, because it tells us that Jesus was telling this parable in a particular context. Now, those of you who were here on Thursday for the communion service are in the fortunate position that you heard the end of Luke 17 being read, and Paul preached on those closing verses of Luke 17. I'm not going to ask you if you're here to let me know what the context is, but I will let you know. Some Pharisees were asking Jesus when the kingdom of God would appear. And so Jesus teaches them and his disciples something about the kingdom of God. And as Paul pointed out in his sermon, when Jesus comes again, the kingdom will appear in all its fullness and glory. What a wonderful day that will be, when there will be no more suffering, no more crying, no more injustice, no more pain. But that's still a way off. I was going to say a long way off, but I shouldn't say that, because I don't know, but it's a way off. And Jesus goes on to say that the kingdom of God is among you. It's already at work. With his coming, the kingdom has begun. And he's already beginning to show what the kingdom is like in his acts of concern for those who are poor, feeding the hungry, healing the lame, the blind, the crippled. And so Jesus tells us in this present age, when we're longing for the kingdom to come, but it's not yet, he tells us that we should always pray and not give up. And the song that we were singing, reminding us of the Lord's Prayer, we are to pray continually, even daily, for God's kingdom to come and for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to be persistent in prayer. And to illustrate this point, Jesus tells a parable. In this parable, we're told of a judge. He doesn't care about God or God's law. He doesn't care about people. He cares only about himself. You'll have to put yourself back into the first century in Palestine. You could petition a judge. You didn't have to go to a solicitor, go to a law court, all those things. You could petition a judge to make a judgment upon your case. And so we're introduced to a poor widow. In those times, in a patriarchal society, a widow, if she had died without children, and particularly without sons, she would be in a perilous condition. Perhaps she and her husband had shared a small plot of land on which they made her live their living. And with his death, his relatives had come and claimed it back. Perhaps she was in danger of losing her house. She was suffering from poverty and injustice. And the only way out, she felt, was to petition a judge to put this right. And so she kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my adversary." Well, he didn't care about her, so he wasn't going to bother with a poor widow. But she wasn't going to give up. She came to him again and again and again with the same plea. And in the end, he's fed up. In the NIV that was read to us, it says that he was afraid she would attack him. I don't think she was going to attack him physically, but she was certainly attacking him with words. And she was wearing him out. He wanted a quiet life. He was concerned for himself. So he grants her plea. And Jesus tells this parable to encourage us always to pray and not to give up. The lesson Jesus draws out is this: listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see they get justice and get it quickly. I don't know about you, but I find this parable a little puzzling. Jesus is obviously not saying that God is like this unjust judge. God is compassionate. He cares about people. He cares so much about us that he sent his own son to die for us. We're in no doubt about God's compassion and mercy. He doesn't need other people to twist his arm to get him to do things. Ah, someone says, that's the whole point. God's not like the unjust judge. God will come quickly to answer the cries of his children. But if God always comes quickly to answer our cry, why do we need to persist in prayer? And of course we know that our prayers are not always answered, let alone answered quickly. We cried out for healing, for cure, that is taken from us and from Angie. Our prayers aren't always answered, though we know with cure that he is with the Lord in glory and rejoicing as never before. But our unanswered prayer is precisely what makes us sometimes feel it's not worthwhile and that we should just give up. This is a perplexing parable, but I think we need to look at the parable from a different angle. Remember that the theme, the context in which this parable is spoken, is all about the coming of the kingdom. Jesus' message of the kingdom, good news for the poor, freedom for those who are oppressed, is all about relief for a troubled world. The transformation of this broken and sinful world into a world that again reflects the character of the living God who created it and the character of the Saviour who had compassion upon it. And the parable pictures the cry of a poor and oppressed person against injustice. We still live in a world marked by oppression and injustice. A world where those in positions of power all too often care more about themselves than they do about those who they are supposed to be serving. We live in a world where those who have the most often want to hang on to it tightly and reach out for more, even at the expense of those who are poor and destitute. We live in a world where we who have been responsible, largely responsible, for climate change, want to hang on to our lifestyles, even when it threatens the lives of others. This is the background against which we must read this parable. Paula Gooder, who wrote a lovely little book on the parables, says this about this parable. God, who is just and cares for people so much that he can even number the hairs on everyone's head, wants us to cry to him for justice in the world and never give up. That's part of what it means to pray persistently and to pray for God's kingdom to come and for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus came to bring in the kingdom. He's the Messiah, the King, whose reign is to be marked by justice and righteousness and peace. And when he returns, he will come to transform the whole of creation to be the home of righteousness and peace, where there will be no more suffering and pain, and God himself will wipe every tear from our eye. There will be no more death or crying. But Jesus reminds his disciples that this is not yet. That's the future. Indeed, at the end of the verses we read this morning, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, there's going to be injustice, rebellion, trouble, and warfare to the very end of the age. The poor we will always have with us, and that is why we must persist in prayer and never give up, praying that God's kingdom may come and his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that when he returns, he will find a praying people, a faithful people, a people longing for his appearing. What are we then to take from this parable this morning? Jesus tells us that we must be persistent in our prayers, particularly in praying against injustice and the abuse of power in a world that is in rebellion against him. A world that leaves many poor and desperate need. Do you sometimes grow weary of praying for our troubled world? Nothing seems to change. It only seems to get worse. What's the point in praying? Jesus tells us to persist in prayer and never give up. And God himself tells us to beseech him with our prayers. In Isaiah, God says this, "You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest." We're to give ourselves no rest in prayer. But then he says, "And give him no rest, till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth." We know that our world will be put to rights when Jesus appears and the new Jerusalem descends from heaven, a new creation. And God fills all in all. In the meantime, we are to give God no rest and ourselves no rest in prayer. Praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." God has given us his Spirit to prompt us in such prayer. Now, persistent prayers, of course, are to be reflected in our own actions. We are to be a people marked by a concern for justice, for the poor, for the oppressed. And can I suggest that if we should give God no rest in our prayers praying for justice, we should give the powers of this world no rest either when they act unjustly. Keep writing those letters to your MP. Keep stirring up trouble for those who act unjustly. So let me leave you with this challenge this morning. What are the specific injustices, local, national, global, that we should be praying about? Praying about with all the determination of the persistent widow in this parable. The evils of war and aggression in Ukraine, in Israel, in Palestine, in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Sudan, and in so many other places in our world. Don't give up praying. Keep praying. The climate crisis, with floods in Spain, with drought in Africa, desertification, which drives people from their homes because they can no longer live there. Pray for COP29, which seems to be in crisis. Pray for the plight of refugees and asylum seekers, fleeing because they can no longer live in their homes. We pray against the temptation for us to isolate ourselves from the troubles of our world. Pray concerning global inequality, rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. Petition over how miserly overseas AIDS budget. There's a challenge for you. Pray for the state of the church, particularly the Anglican Church at the moment. Pray for God's mercy and blessing, and for the witness of us, his people, in the world. Pray for America, for the confusion and concern in the USA, the plans of President-elect Donald Trump. Pray for the spread of the kingdom. I read a little article from the Bible Society this week. The church in China is growing with an average of 500,000 baptisms and more than one million people joining local fellowships every year. Praise God for that. All these new believers need Bibles and trained ministers to lead their churches and help them engage with the scriptures. Pray for the church in China. Pray for the spread of the gospel around the world. Pray for the spread of the gospel here in this country. Pray persistently, your kingdom come. And one final suggestion. One of the best ways we can encourage one another in prayer, to persist in prayer, is precisely to pray together. Some years ago, we started here in Christchurch a weekly Your Kingdom Come prayer meeting. Martin Brown was one of the key forces at work in starting that up a few years ago. That prayer meeting continues. A group of us still meet every Wednesday morning from 7 o'clock till 7:30. I know it's early in the morning, but we meet by Zoom. You don't even need to get out of bed. We'd love you to join us for this half hour of prayer every week. If you want more details, please see me. And I'll let you know the details of how you can log in on Zoom and join us for prayer in this encouraging half hour. One of the little group that now meets in prayer says it is for her an oasis in her week, meeting for prayer together, half an hour. Let me encourage you, whether you can meet for that or not, pray. And do not give up. Pray for our world in all its brokenness. Pray because God cares about this world. And God prompts us to pray. And God answers prayer. Let's pray together now. Lord, give us a spirit of prayer, that we may give you no rest until you make your kingdom of righteousness, justice, mercy, love, and peace a praise in all the earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.